Whack Matters is brought to you by Audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters, you can sign up for a free 30-day trial where you can test out Audible's awesome audiobook monthly subscription service. Make sure to go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters. Hey, welcome to the Whack Matters series, where we talk about Channel Zero, Season 2, called No End House. I am here with a panelist of four people. You want to introduce yourselves from my left to right, so you go first.
I am Matt Capello.
Mark.
Matt.
We watched episode 1 just now, and if you want to check out the commentary track that we recorded, I will have that posted. This is for people that don't feel like watching the show, and I don't necessarily blame you, though I think that it might help. If you watch the show, you'll get some laughs out of it. Whether it's from our jokes or not, that's up to you. The show is something. I watched this last year. This is your guys' first viewing. I do want to explain the concept of the show to you. So it's called Channel Zero. It's an anthology show where each of the seasons is a different story. What they're supposed to be doing is taking creepypastas. Are you familiar with the term?
Creepypasta?
Yeah.
The creepiest pasta I know is macaroni.
So yeah, pasta is scarier than this show.
It's an incredibly stupid internet term, which is a...
That's really redundant.
It's a morphing of the term copypasta, which is just when people in the early days of forums would just post creepy stories, copy-paste them to another forum. So all of these seasons are originally based on a creepypasta that's been around for a long time.
So like the Thin Man, would he be a creepypasta?
Like Slender Man?
Slenderman.
Slenderman is a creepypasta.
Yeah, created by Red Letter Media.
Really?
I'm pretty sure they did it inadvertently.
Huh.
All I know is that there's a lot of these that exist. Some of them are decent, and because they can be written by anyone, a lot of them suck. This one is actually a lot creepier, I thought, when I was reading the creepypasta. Another thing that I've noticed about all the seasons of this show is most of the time the creepypasta, as it was written, is thrown away by the end of the first episode. Either they've used everything in the source material, or warped it all so much that it's screwed beyond repair. So if you want to go read the source material, you're not going to get spoiled on the rest of the show, because...
It doesn't follow it.
Well, no, because the rooms are all different, including ones that are way creepier than the ones that we see.
They built the house differently.
And also it ends when they find out that they're not out of the house, just like this episode. That's the end of the creepypasta.
Oh, okay. So it's more that sounds more like something that'd be like Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you go into this house, you think it has an ending, and you come out, you think you're out, and you're in a Twilight Zone.
And it's creepier. Well, I don't want to spoil too much, but we'll say it might be creepier than what comes the rest of the season.
Yeah, I really feel like they could have made a decent one-hour show out of this idea, but they chose not to.
They also chose to... So, as someone who has read the creepypasta, they chose to change pretty much every room, creepier than these. These rooms were not very creepy.
Well, were they visually creepy?
Well, some of them...
It was in words, right? You read it.
I did read it. So Sci-Fi does this thing now. I don't know how much you guys check out Sci-Fi. They do this thing now where they post synopses of every show after it airs. And sometimes I get things out of the synopsis that I didn't even catch in the real show. That might be the case here. So I'm going to go ahead and read through some of the synopsis. We'll talk about the different plot beats. You'll tell me what you've gathered and what you thought of the show as we go on. So this starts with... So that house at the end of the block, that's the No End House. As a woman runs toward it, a man in a suit pursues her. She has the words, "This isn't real," carved into her arm. She wants to get into the house as fast as she can, but he catches her, knocks her out, and maybe cuts the words off her arm? So many questions. But that's all we get for now, because we're about to meet our lead, Margot. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, I think he's got to burn them.
Yeah, he for sure had a lighter.
Was he the same guy with the backpack from inside the house?
No. I don't think so. They color. Both had both just because they both have beards. Doesn't
they had
mean
different
they
color hair though? So unless they dyed it, and it seems like that's kind of a big budget move.
Well, it is a parallel universe,
right? So I'm assuming she's trying to get back into the house so she can get out of the
actually
house,
out of the house,
into her home universe.
That'd so this is guess. A sequel to Sliders.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the horror version.
No, this is the It's the sequel to Channel Zero Season 1.
Some flashbacks clue us in that Margot and her father were very close and spent a lot of time in the pool growing up. What happened to him is still a bit of a mystery, but Margot has definitely become something of a recluse this summer.
It's not a mystery. He was dumb, so he had allergies. No,
we haven't got there. Oh. We haven't got to that yet. Oh. When Mom headed out of town, Margot's down to do just what she's been doing a lot of lately, just hanging around without any kind of friends. That's when her friend Jules comes back from college.
Okay, we have her name now.
Here's
the
interesting part.
Name before.
Yeah, Jules finally convinces Margot to get out of the house and go to a party. They meet up with some dudes at a bar, one of them their old friend JD. So you guys got it wrong. Margot is about to leave when she meets a handsome boy named Seth, so she sticks around. That's when everyone reveals they've all been getting weird, creepy messages on their phone. JD explains this happens every now and then, usually before the appearance of the No End House, an art installation that's a high-end, creepy, haunted house. Or bougie, as the characters might say in the show. Six rooms all scarier.
Is that
than
in the actual synopsis, or did you add that back
I'm in? Editorializing only a little bit, because they write these synopses very corny.
I really thought it was eight rooms.
Who wrote this synopsis?
Six rooms?
They're on the Sci-Fi website with the show.
Oh.
Apparently the next step is that people will start seeing ads with the address. So I guess we missed that part in the commentary.
Yeah.
Somewhere the address was there. That's how they knew to travel all the way across town in that long car scene.
Oh no, that was that's what she saw on the television.
Yep. Okay, I missed that.
The first television, not the
television. So I wonder if it's like just like a long con.
What do you mean?
They don't realize it, but they signed all of their assets to them. And so after they're gone for like 7 years, they can claim they're dead and take all their crap.
What if this whole show is a long con and we're going to sign over our assets if we watch it?
Well, I haven't signed anything.
That you
yet.
Do you remember signing it? You guys all signed a waiver on your way in.
I distinctly remember not signing something.
You haven't seen the exit door for this room?
Yeah, didn't Michael's address have a 4 in it? So there is an exit here.
You didn't check when you came in. It might have a 6 on the door now.
Shoot.
Mine's got a 6.
I live in an apartment.
That means don't go in my house. You can't get out.
No, that's a different movie.
So the gang all go back to Margot's house, and Margot reveals to Seth how her dad died. He had a bad reaction to some allergy medication, and she found him dead. It's clearly been traumatizing. When Margot goes inside, she sees a strange ad on the television that gives away the address. As you said, so the gang decides to get in the car and drive over to see it.
Here's the thing. Like, if you die, if you have an allergic reaction, it's visible. He looked fine.
And how can he have an allergic reaction to allergy medicine?
Well, you can have an allergic reaction to allergy medicine.
That's disappointing.
It means you got the wrong medicine, probably.
Right. People get prescribed the wrong stuff all the time. But usually when you die, when you have an allergic reaction, my point is when you have an allergic reaction, like you get puffed up, something happens that's visible.
Well, that's him at the in the house.
I suppose being dead is a visible thing, but...
He did look like he was just sleeping.
Did they just not have the budget for, like, a rash? They couldn't just put a little bit of a rash on him?
Where would he have a rash?
They spent that money writing There's No Escape or Not Real.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, if you break out, you eat something you're allergic to, you can still break out in hives.
They should have just given him something he was allergic to so he would break out for the show.
Right.
He's a method actor, right?
I don't know. No. Did you ever see the Drew Carey show? He's not a method actor.
Yeah, there's no way anybody...
Is he Drew Carey?
No.
Okay.
He was one of Drew Carey's buddies.
It's not that girl that looks kind of like Drew Carey?
No, I think he was that chick's boyfriend.
That figures.
In the Drew Carey show.
They arrive to find a pretty terrifying house. All of the people are out of it. Sorry, out of the people coming out of it are actually really freaked out by it. Some are even barfing. As they wait their turn to go in, they learn that every room is scarier, but every room has an exit as well. You get to choose as you go. They meet a bearded dude with a backpack, Dylan, who tells them that he's actually been searching for the house. He's prepared to go in. After seeing some spray-painted graffiti on the door that says, "Beware the cannibals," the team go into their first room, where they all find some white plaster cast of their own heads. It's pretty creepy, and they can't figure out how it happened so fast. Then the lights go off.
I like how they tell you it's pretty creepy. Like, you should be creeped out.
Well, they have
this.
To tell you that a lot, because clearly it wasn't that scary. When the lights come back on, their heads are different. The statues have changed, and they're now all torn open. Curious, they ignore the door that says exit, well, all of them except one, and march through the door labeled next room.
See, I didn't even pick up that the plaster cast looked like them until they said they
Well, they had to point it out because they didn't have hair on. I think if they would have had hair on, it would have been easier. Yeah.
Why didn't they put the hair on?
Does that show how much we...
A lot of money?
...don't actually look at what people look like? We just look at their, like, general features?
Well, I mean...
Can you describe the... Okay, hold on. Can you describe the characters in this show? I know you don't know their names.
They're all white.
No.
Nope.
That's not true.
The one chick
isn't. She's brown.
Okay, so there's
Jules, because she's from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, there's Wells Fargo, And she looks like she very much wants to be the girl from Twilight. And then there's the dude who wants to look like he's the guy from Twilight. And then there's the African-American friend, who's a girl. And then there's the guy who wants to have her hairstyle very bad. And then there's kind of...
have her hairstyle, or at least half of it.
It's just shorter.
And then there's a guy who...
WJD.
Has a backpack and looks almost like a drifter, but clearly too clean, so I guess a bad hipster.
Or...
with a go bag.
Is that
a bug out? A bug out bag.
He does look like a Dylan.
Yeah, I want to say Dylan is the prepared one.
I think he's the actual hero of the show.
Yeah.
The second room looks like a giant swimming pool with a very creepy dude in it. He's wearing a wooden mask and cruises around the room, sizing everyone up. When JD asks if he's one of the cannibals, the dude shoves him pretty hard.
After the Does it actually say that?
It says that. After the creepy guy...
It was like a 4 out of 10 hard.
After the creepy guy whispers in Margot's ear, "Welcome back, Martian. What does that mean?" The lights go out and come back on. One of the dudes who's been going through the house with them is now missing, and only a smear of blood leading from where he stood.
Yeah, leading to the wall. Yeah, that was not scary.
You don't think the wood guy was scary?
At all, no.
What about when he pushed that guy really
cheesy.
Hard?
It was
cheesy. What about he shoved him really hard?
It was stupid.
It was pretty hard.
It was stupid. It's like he's outnumbered.
You know that
if he wants to start a fight, he will lose.
When this pilot aired, it got a lot of positive reviews, you know.
Really?
It did. I don't know how many people that were important actually reviewed the thing, but the people that did review it, if you look online, the show has a very high Rotten Tomato score.
It was reviewed by every actor that was cast in the show.
And that was it. I do want to see a different scene.
Well, does it get better? You've seen the whole thing. Does it get better?
I'm not going to spoil anything.
I do want to see a different version of the scene where that guy comes out and they're all like, "Oh, that's terrifying," and they all just attack him.
Well, seriously, like, if he had a weapon, like a machete, if it was obvious he came to defend himself in the case, like, they did attack him, then, okay, well, like, wait, what's going on? But he's just by himself walking around wearing what could just be a plastic mask, right?
I mean, did you not look at it? It was very much just a plastic mask.
Right. Like he
but he looks
do they
like...
do background checks or psychology, you know, psychological evaluations of these people? How does he know he's not pushing a psycho who attacks him as soon as he pushes him?
Ah, so this is a sequel to that Michael Douglas movie, The Game?
I was thinking Fall It Down when you said Michael Douglas.
Oh.
Or Ant-Man. Like he could have Ant-Man in his pocket.
That would be better than what he did have.
Right.
Which was bad hair.
He said hello, Martian. Else. You guys forgot. He said hello, Martian. That was his scare tactic.
See, I didn't actually
hear him say that.
Yeah, I don't believe her.
I think she misheard him.
He actually just leaned over and said,
right, right. He was clearing his throat. That's what it sounded like he was doing.
And then he realized he ran out of time, and he's like, "Oh, I have to kill that guy. Hold on."
Right. The only reason why she knows...
I gotta go murk this fool.
Yeah, the only reason why she knows he said hello, Martians, because it's in the script.
She actually said bello, Marcia.
This is where the gang is offered a warning by Dylan. He's already told them that he's trying to find his way back into the house, and now he says it's not too late, that they should turn back. They, of course, ignore him and press on. Room 3 requires them all to go in separately. Margot finds herself in a dream she used to have as a kid, a long hallway with a mirror that has someone hiding behind it.
Was there any way for us to know that that was a dream she had as a kid?
Yeah, you missed the part where she was talking to Hot Dude at the beginning party. She told him that.
That she had a dream about a mirror?
Yep.
There was a Hot Dude?
Fake
yeah,
Twilight.
Same guy. Fake Twilight reject.
I'm going to use Hot Dude for a lot of guys in the show, so... She sneaks around the mirror trying to find...
What about the dad?
Hold on. She sneaks around the mirror trying to find a terrifying... No, I keep reading this wrong. She sneaks around the mirror to find a terrifying giggling dude. That is the actual
quote. Why was that terrifying?
I did not find that guy terrifying.
He looked like Jack Black. She runs towards the exit, but as she passes door 4, she hears Jules' voice, so she goes in after her. In room 4, Margot is forced to watch her father's death on a giant screen. It's messed up. Margot sees that she has a choice between room 5 and an exit. She persists into room 5, though is curious about how messed up this all
if
is.
If you were to remove, like, all of the descriptive stuff, like spooky, curious, I would buy the concept. You go into a house, it's like if you ever saw that movie, The Cube, where you move from room to room, each room is more terrifying than the other one, which is true. But each room tries to kill you, and you have to get out, right? This, I mean, because like, has a high concept that sounds interesting, but then they add all this other stuff. in the synopsis that just makes it sound
as corny
dumb.
As it is.
Well, yeah. these synopses are some of my favorite part of the show because they are written so poorly. They're written, they seem like they're written to teenage females, I'll say.
Are they written by the writers of the show?
I don't know.
Were they written by committee? Were they crowdsourced?
No.
Like, you should just supply a few words and
I don't think so.
We'll
I think
use it in the synopsis.
They post when the episode airs because there were times, like, when I watched this episode the first time, I did not know what it said on that girl's arm, and I did not know until I read the synopsis. They post day of the air. So I don't think fans necessarily write the synopsis. Somebody in the cast does.
Somebody who makes like $20,000 a year.
Yeah, they get paid the big bucks to
Real
do
quick,
that.
In room 5, Margo finds a creepy version of her living room with a creepy version of her father sitting in the position where he died. Creepy version, that mayonnaise guy.
Videos, I feel like they overuse the word creepy there.
They do. They normally, when someone writes something to be published online, they do a quick control F of their adjectives and adverbs to see if they're using the same ones over and over, and somebody forgot to do that here.
They need to use the thesaurus.
Yes. Videos of her childhood play behind her on a scary loop, and the only way to turn it off is to take the remote from the...
Hold on. Why don't they just say loop, and then let the viewer decide if it's scary?
They use
supposed to know if it's scary or not,
unless
Matt?
They tell
if they
you.
Don't tell you it's scary, you're not going to be scared.
They use the word creepy
about
again.
This.
Be gotta, scared.
Yeah, we just talked about
be
this.
Be scared.
It's better to be told than not shown in visual medium.
That's true. I'm pretty sure that's rule number one, right?
Yeah.
Tell, don't show.
She has to take
the
remote from this
rule.
Creepy vermilis... I'm not going to go say this word.
Verisimilitude.
Of her dad. As she does, he gets up and tries to hug her. On her way out of the room, she hears him say, "You have to go through to go home."
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, we didn't hear it. And we were listening to that part. We weren't talking over it. I just couldn't hear it because the audio in the show is mixed so absolutely but trashly.
You have to go through what?
The door, probably. I don't know.
You got to go in to get out.
Maybe she misunderstood.
It was like one of those deep philosophical.
Well, we cannot trust
musings.
Her hearing ability because she claims that guy said "Go home, Martian" or something.
That's really the twist of the whole thing. Is she has a hearing?
She's been abducted. She's been abducted.
Yeah, her friends are just like, "We didn't know how to tell you that you're very deaf."
Remember,
we had a very elaborate plan.
We literally didn't know how to.
Early
tell
on,
you.
Early on, there's those little pins, right? And then on the pin was a UFO. One of those was a picture of a UFO with, like, the strings. Like,
I can't tell if they're making this up.
Like what detectives do.
I did not see that.
Yeah. So there was, like, the strings and then, like at the beginning of, what's that show on Netflix? On Series of Unfortunate Events. Right? Have you seen the opening of that? And it's, like, Count Olaf is at the center of everything.
All these
shows, like, all of these pictures... went to this one pin that was on a UFO. So I wonder if there's actually aliens.
I feel I didn't even watch the same show as you right now.
So technically,
I think he's making this up. I don't remember this either.
No, that was there. So technically, they wouldn't be cannibals, right? If they're
because,
aliens,
yeah, if they're aliens, they would
they're
not.
Be they're not cannibals.
Well, if they eat other aliens,
and then
they
he
might
tells
be.
Her, what did he say to her?
You have to go through to go home.
No. What did the
tree boy?
The tree
Hello,
mask.
Martian.
That's right. Hello, Martian. She's actually an alien.
I don't mean to spoil this for you, but you did miss the part where Martian was her dad's nickname for her.
No, I don't like that.
Oh.
That's why he says that at the end.
Right, but is it supposed to be a scary nickname
that's
or a creepy nickname?
I think it's because her name is Margo and he forgot his child's name and just went with it.
He just went with Martian.
He was getting real high on his allergy medication.
There was a UFO there. You can start it over.
As Margo gets outside the house, she finds a distraught Jules. Thinking JD and Seth have left them there, they decide to leave, but their car won't work. They walk home, shaken. Jules agrees to stay over a bit, but she notices the house is just a number 6. Was it always? That's when things get even weirder. As Margo goes in the house, she discovers her dad making breakfast. What is this?
What was it? A creepy breakfast? Was he creepily
breakfast?
Making breakfast?
He wasn't.
Or was he making
breakfast.
A creepy breakfast?
He was
it a breakfast pasta?
Whistling creepily, making creepy pasta.
See, this is the thing. I didn't know if I was supposed to be scared. Then nobody told me.
I really felt like the end of Back to the Future, where she's come to a better place. Everything's fine now.
Right. You mean like the second one? She wakes up. And that would be the third one.
No, I meant the first one, where his parents are now successful and not. Dead.
Not dead.
If you were her, would you be creeped out when she comes downstairs and her dad's alive?
Well, yeah.
I'd be creeped out if I came downstairs and saw my dad.
In his underwear?
Just at all.
Yeah, if my dad was dead, and then I came home and he was grating cheese, I'd be like, "Dad, what are you doing? you don't grate cheese that way.
Like my dad knows I don't like cheese.
There's a better way to
creepy.
That's true. Well, yeah, for you, yeah.
If I came home and my dad is alive and I went down here and he was here, I would also be creeped out.
Right. I would be creeped out.
Any place I see my dad, I'm a little creeped out.
I'm curious, once again, I want to do a name check. Can you guys name them in character this is show?
Margot Robbie.
Margot's one of them.
Well, that's part of the...
there's more than one?
That goes to, actually, how poorly the show was
developed. Oh, no. I'm not blaming you guys for not paying attention. The show does an extremely poor job of saying anyone's name.
No. Jules. Forget... No, I'm not Dylan. Talking about the names. I'm still stuck on the last scene.
Dylan.
Right? That is supposed to be scary or creepy, or like you're gonna be like, what the heck? What's he... How creepy is that? But, like... the directing, the camera angles, the sounds, like nothing was, they did not concentrate any of that.
You didn't like that
to
one take.
Make you creep that out.
That was all one take. They just spun the camera around and he was grating cheese. You didn't think that was creepy?
No.
That he was whistling?
No.
And grating cheese poorly?
No.
Yeah, I wasn't set up to think of the whistling as creepy.
Right.
What about...
Exactly. There was no foreshadowing. There was no foreshadowing.
When they drop the soundtrack, you know something creepy's going down.
No, I was thankful.
The soundtrack is really the worst part.
Right.
The mixing is extremely weird in this show. It's hard to hear dialogue when there's music playing, and it's not our audio setup. It's that way. That's the way the show is made. You can't hear people talking when they're playing music, and sometimes that's when dialogue is delivered that's supposed to be listened to.
I have a bone to pick with this synopsis. It says four friends, and one of them was clearly just picked up at a bar.
That's how millennials meet.
He's not one of the friends.
That's how millennials have friends.
Yeah. Unless Seth. Dylan is one of the friends.
Seth.
Seth, that's the guy's name.
Which guy?
JD.
Seth is hot dude. JD is long hair hot dude.
Is it JD or JT?
It's JD for real. But we were calling him
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z the whole time.
Jules.
Jules is the black chick.
Margo. No.
Margo's the other white chick. Or the only white chick, I
guess. And then Dylan was
Dylan's the hipster.
The,
Dylan's, well, you call him hipster, but I like to call him mercenary.
Backpack guy.
Was there other main characters?
No.
They probably had Yoda.
Does the dad have a name?
The dad may not have a name yet, actually.
I'll just IMDb
The dad may not have a name yet. The mom has a name. Don't look it up. Any spoilers.
There are spoilers on IMDb?
Yeah, dude.
So obviously his name is critical to you being creeped out at some point in this show.
So I...
And if you're not actually creeped out, you can read the synopsis and know you should have been creeped out.
You should have been
freaking
creeped out.
Quick, what is the creepiest name you can think of for a guy?
Barnabas.
Sylvester.
I was thinking John.
Jacob Jingleheiner Schmidt.
His name is my name too.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's why they shout it whenever I go out. I would like you guys to rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 10. That's generally what we do on this website.
What would be rated as a 10? I mean, because we got to put this in the right kind of category, right? We wouldn't compare this to 2001 Space Odyssey.
So I haven't seen very many movies.
I would rate that a lot lower than most people.
I haven't seen very many movies, but let's just say the movie Insidious is a 10.
I have not seen Insidious. Okay.
The Ring, then? We'll say The Ring is a 10.
I have not seen The Ring.
Michael, I've never seen any movie.
Let's say...
So I can use Insidious as a 10. So if Insidious is our top level, this is probably a 3. Three or four, because I've seen worse.
There are no.
You've seen worse. I want to hear some examples.
Cube 2.
Okay.
Electric Boogaloo.
VHS 2. See, because what I was saying is like this looks like a low quality VHS, and there was a horror movie that came out in 2012, and it's actually four stories, so it's an anthology. None of them were related.
Okay.
But each one was shot. And like with a 1990s, you know, those big old handheld cams.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? On VHS type. Each one was shot on VHS. It was actually pretty good. Some of them, so there was four stories. A couple of them were pretty good. But then they made a sequel because it actually did pretty well. Really low budget. Made some money. So it made, you know, profit. A lot of profit. So they made a sequel. The sequel was terrible.
And that was called Betamax?
No, it was VHS too. DVD. But yeah, they're obviously like, yeah, we can just do that again.
VHS and 2 was called straight to VHS.
Yeah, the lightning did not go into the bottle. It struck the director and went into the VHS tape.
Would any of you have finished this episode if you weren't recording a podcast on it?
Yes.
I likely would not have started this episode.
Would any of you watch the second episode if you'd been forced to sit through the first episode?
No, probably not.
Probably not. I already saw Sliders. I didn't like where it went.
I have a low tolerance now. You have to. I'll give a show 2 or 3 seasons if it's been highly recommended by enough people. Yeah, this one I would have. Yeah, I'd tap out after the first episode.
I usually give shows a 1 to 3 episode, like a 2 to 3 episode. Sorry, assuming that there's something I'm missing. So I would watch the next one. And if the next one is similar to this first episode, I would probably not watch the third one.
Channel Zero has an average tomato meter of 94% and an average audience score of 84%.
What?
That's...
For this season?
Seems wrong.
Sorry, if I go to Channel Zero No End House, it's a 100% critic rating.
Really?
And 87% audience rating.
So, like, I can see a couple of redeeming
qualities. Why am I wrong? Why am I so wrong?
But I can't fathom that rating.
Which review would you like me to read some from? I've got,
one that seems to make sense.
Let's see. Is there anyone since it's 100%, how about Vox?
Okay, go with Vox.
Okay, they gave it a 4 out of 5, so I'm not sure how this ended up with 100%, but...
Yeah, because they are crazy over there at Vox, so I want to hear what they have to say.
All right, so here we go. For me, Sci-Fi's Channel Zero was one of TV's biggest surprises of 2016. But the show's 6-episode second chapter debuting this week is terrific from stem to stern, taking story that would seem unlikely to translate well to television and turning it into an eerie Twilight Zone-style tale of suburban conformity, post-high school depression, and the inability to escape the legacy of one's parents. I didn't get that last part, the legacy of one's parents.
After watching the whole season, you don't get that?
I wouldn't say remembering my father's death has to do with escaping their legacy.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't get that out of the first episode.
I think this is just a review of episode 1
right,
and 2.
I think Vox is getting way more out of the show than is actually there.
Subtitled No End House, which technically the second half of season 1, Channel Zero, blah, blah, blah.
Well, see, they read something that told them what they're supposed to feel and see in the...
Let's see. Channel Zero creator Nick Anastasia knows this, and he's right there, ready to anticipate your expectations and keep you from getting bored. Of course, Margo and Jules haven't escaped, and of course they and the audience will realize it. So, and Skoska, that's the director, is forced to get creative in how he keeps them trapped. No End House also features wonderfully unsettling performances from Forsyth D and John Carroll Lynch, the dead father. All convey the notion of reaching a place where reality just doesn't feel real anymore, even though you know it is.
Yeah, I will give you that he does know how to do creepy. He was creepy in Zodiac, where he is a suspect. He is super creepy, but, you know, David Fincher directing, he can get creepy from anybody.
I do feel like in like a fourth wall sort of way that I did feel a sense of unreality with this show.
I always accredited that to the bad dialogue, though.
Like, I feel very much like I'm trapped in a house.
I like it when the teens are talking at the beginning. You guys weren't listening as much because you were riffing on other jokes, which is okay. But if you were to actually assess the teen dialogue at the beginning, it is just astoundingly... They don't sound like they're talking to each other. They sound like they're having a conversation next to each other with themselves.
Like they have a script that they're reading?
No, because I feel like somebody trying to write two characters talking to each other could do it so much better, even if they had no talent.
See, you misunderstand, Michael. They're trying to capture the zeitgeist of the youth of today.
Well, like I said, when I first saw this, I thought I was watching
Twin Peaks. I hope they haven't captured it.
Have you seen, Twin Peaks, where the characters, it's all weird, but it's intentionally weird, and it comes across as weird?
Fantastic cup of coffee.
Yes, and
Yeah, Twin Peaks is good.
Yes.
The dialogue is really good.
Exactly. This show, I was sitting there creepy. Going, I was sitting here at the beginning when they were talking back and forth when I first saw the show, and I said, is this supposed to be bad? Like, are the things that they're saying foreshadowing something that's about to happen? Or is it just bad dialogue? And that's for you guys to decide. Because this show has a very good critic rating and user rating.
The subtitle here that I could just barely read that says, your memories will eat you alive. That's creepier than this episode was.
It's a personal opinion.
I'm not saying it's creepy. It's creepier.
So let's see. Rundown. You said 3 out of 10 because you've seen worse.
Yeah, 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10 mostly because I think conceptually there is something there. So I think in the hands of a better showrunner, for lack of a better term, you could actually do something with that.
Run rate it.
I'll give it a 4.
Okay,
Matt. I've seen worse TV.
I would give it a 5, but only because a 5 is about the worst rating I could give anything. I don't care about it.
Well, you could give it a 1. It goes from 1 to 10.
With a 1, it would at least be noteworthy. Like, it would be so bad that I have something to say about it.
Star Wars Holiday Special would be a 1.
Yes, absolutely.
And this is nowhere near that.
Hold on. I want you guys... I don't want to depress you in the first episode here. I want you guys to hold on to your butts. Because we're going to go places, I think.
With the second episode?
With the series. I mean, okay. I don't remember the specific episodes when things happen.
Okay.
But if you're talking about something being so bad that it might be funny to talk about. Anyway, that's going
to
be a wrap.
After each episode, you are allowed to exit. But if you stay for all of them, you can never leave.
Each episode is a door. You guys are getting
six,
really meta.
There are 6 episodes.
See, the whole last thing one never is very ends. Meta.
This is meta.
Last one never ends.
If we make the choice to stay for episode 6, Michael's like, nope. He locks the doors and we have to produce content for the website for the rest of our lives.
Hey, thank you for listening to Whack Matters coverage of Channel Zero No End House. If you want to check out the commentary track, go to whackmatters.com and we'll have it posted there. We also have the RSS feed, so you can subscribe to our podcast and listen to every episode that we put out. We also do a show called Life's What You Rate It, where Mark and I make jokes about how awesome everything in the world is. There's also another show called Tune In, where Mark and his friend Karsten talk about cartoons and how they're good for everybody, even adults. If you want to support this website, there's a donate button at whackmatters.com. But if you'd like to actually get something back out of it, you could go to whackmatters.storemv.com and buy an awesome t-shirt. We like them. Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you're looking forward to next week when we talk about episode 2. Hope to see you there.